This copyrighted broadcast is presented by the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated. For the private use of our audience, any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated is prohibited. Fayetteville Woodpeckers Baseball is live from the sandhills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show, getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Been making memories at Segra Stadium over the last few home games. Walk-offs, no hitters. What'll be in store tonight? We're about to find out. It's game three of six between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Lynchburg Hillcats, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hello, everybody. Welcome inside the broadcast booth. It's great to have you with us on this beautiful Thursday in downtown Fayetteville. Thanks for making us a part of your plans. I'm Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey, and we are live on the home of the Woodpeckers, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV, along with our online radio broadcast streaming live on the MILB First Pitch app, the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Colin, we saw a no-hitter last night, a pretty cool moment for these Woodpeckers who, to be honest, have been at the bottom of the standings for the majority of the second half, but take a lot of victory away from a no-hitter like that, and that's no doubt a moment that six right-handers out of the mound yesterday will never forget in their baseball careers.
Yeah, no question about it, especially with a lot of those guys being 2022 drafted guys or players that have just started their minor league careers. That's a great thing about single-A baseball is these are some of your early memories from playing professional ball, and it was a great team effort from the start. Three pitchers over the first three innings, and then it was A.J. Bluebaugh who took over for five innings before two pitchers combined in the ninth inning to get the final three outs. A real special moment for that group, and a great way to even up the series as well with just four games left on the season. You mentioned what could be in store tonight. What I'm looking for is a little bit more power from the Woodpeckers. No home runs over the first two games of the series. They entered the series with the most home runs in the Carolina League this season. They're currently now tied for second, so they've been caught by a couple of teams. But we know this Woodpeckers offense doesn't really stay down very long when it comes to hitting home runs. The way the wind's been blowing tonight, I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple leave the yard for Fayetteville in this third game of the series.
Well, the Woodpeckers offense will take on a right-hander, Alonzo Richardson. He's 1-3 with a 7.67 ERA, a guy that signed with Cleveland after the five-round 2020 draft out of high school. More on that as our broadcast continues. And opposing him will be right-hander Dalen Miley, 3-8 with a 4.92 ERA. He was fantastic last time on the road, Colin, against the Down East Wood Ducks a weekend ago.
Yeah, no question about it. Went four shutout innings to begin that ball game at Granger Stadium. And he's been really good, really since the start of August. Last six outings, he's gone at least four innings. Over his last three, he struck out at least seven batters. So this is the Dalen Miley we saw in April, kind of reinventing himself to be an even more dominant force on the mound, and it all really comes down to that slider. He's been getting a lot more players to chase out of the zone. Opposing batters, especially righties, have had trouble picking up that pitch, so expect a lot of off-speed early and often for Dalen Miley as he wraps up his 2022 campaign, looking to end it on a high note.
Miley 3-8 with a 4.92 ERA. It is Copa de la Diversión night, the final Thirsty Thursday as well of the 2022 season. And the Woodpeckers tonight don the Mosqueteros in Fayetteville uniforms, that cool blue uniform with the white and orange. We'll tell you more when we come back. We have more numbers on the starting pitchers as well and the starting lineups coming up on the Woodpeckers pregame show on the other side of this break. Singing the national anthem coming up as well. You're tuned in to Woodpeckers Baseball live on the air from downtown Segra Stadium. We're back in a moment. Built-In and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Segra Stadium is the place to be on Wednesday night all summer long. Every Wednesday home game is Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark. Enjoy $1 Smithfield Foods hot dogs throughout the game and bring your pup to the park for only a dollar as well. The great deals don't stop there. If the Woodpeckers win on Wednesday, so do you. Every fan in attendance will receive a free ticket to a future Wednesday home game. So bring the whole family, including your furry friends, down to Segra Stadium Wednesday night for Dollar Dog Night. Learn more at MILB.com/Fayetteville.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the hope of the brave?
Let's hear it from Michael Daughtry.
Straight from the ballpark, it's time to dig in for some Woodpeckers baseball. Now, here's the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
Peckers baseball is live on the air from downtown Fayetteville, Segra Stadium. It's game 3 of 6 between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers tonight, donning Los Guerreros de Fayetteville uniforms and the Lynchburg Hillcats, the single-A affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians, the single-A affiliate of the Houston Astros and the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. It's great to be with you. Only four more of these things before we wrap up the 2022 regular season. But the Woodpeckers still staying competitive down the final stretch. They threw a no-hitter yesterday. Six right-handers going the distance in that one. And tonight, Dalen Miley will try to provide a little bit of length in the start. Brian Salgado only scheduled to go one yesterday, so it was a bullpen effort from the second inning on. Miley, though, will try and go four, maybe five today in the start. He carries a 3-8 record and a 4.92 ERA into this one. 23 games, 14 starts. Miley with 78 and two-thirds innings of work. He's given up 43 earned runs, 5 home runs, that's it, all year long. 56 walks, and he's crossed the century mark in strikeouts. 102 has the active team lead coming into tonight. Let's go ahead and meet the starting lineup that the Lynchburg Hillcats will roll out there today. The lineup card announced by manager Omir Santos. The Hillcats 62-66 overall, 27-35 in the second half, eliminated from a second half championship after the Fred Nats clinched on Tuesday, but they did win the first half championship and are one of the four playoff teams this year in the Carolina League. Jake Fox leads it off. Isaiah Green is second, and then Dan Frias will hit third. Will Bartlett is the cleanup hitter. Richard Paz, the catcher, is fifth, and Victor Planchard, he is the DH six. Jordan Brown, 7. Marlon Madej, 8. And then Angel Hanau, the young 18-year-old, he rounds out the starting 9 for the Hillcats. So Jake Fox into the left side. Dalen Miley at the shoulders, throws out of the stretch, and the first pitch of our ballgame is a 91-mile-per-hour strike right down the middle. 7:07, first pitch time tonight in Fayetteville. It's a beautiful evening for ball, partly cloudy and 79 degrees, and a good Thursday crowd starting to file into the seats. Fox takes the changeup low, and it is one ball and one strike. Jake Fox, a .254 hitter, 5 home runs and 43 driven in. He has 93 total hits on the year. And if he can put together a strong back half of this series, could end with 100. We really need to get it going, though, as he swings and misses at a slider. And it is 1-2. He's walked 73 times, finds a way to get on. That's helped his on-base percentage on the season to get almost all the way to 400, a very respectable .389. A shift onto the infield to the pull side of the lefty, and that slider misses a little high. And it's 2 balls and 2 strikes on Jake Fox.
Crazy, he's got 73 walks. He's also scored 73 times, so
yeah.
Pretty good combination of an example of why how important it is to get on base. Generates a lot of runs, and that's what makes you a great leadoff hitter, even if your average isn't close to that 300 mark.
High set from Miley, and the 2-2 is popped up over our heads.
For Miley, mentioned in the pregame show that he struck out at least 7 batters over his last 3 games and 4 of his last 5 as well. Really, since the start of August, Daylen Miley has been really dialed in on the mound.
2-2 missed up and inside. And it's 3 balls and 2 strikes. You have the blue unis against the green unis tonight. Los Guerreros uniforms, that light blue with Guerreros in orange across the chest, the 3-tone ball cap. Miley throws the payoff, and this ball grounded sharply towards second. Sliding pickup by Tommy Sacco. The pop to his feet, throw to first, they got him. And Tommy Sacco makes a smooth play over there at second base, gliding to his left, sliding on the shallow grass. And quickly getting to his feet, retiring the speedy Jake Fox for out number one. So Sacco makes the nice play on the middle infield. Colin has the rest of the Fayetteville defense for you in this one.
Woodpeckers have not committed an error over the first 18 innings of this series. Ryan Robleski back behind the plate doing the catching for Miley. Garrett McGowan at first, Sacco the second baseman. Leo's Danny Molina at short, and Jackson Lofton is at third as the first pitch misses upstairs. Ryan Clifford out in left field once again. Zach Cole the center fielder. And Tyler Whitaker in right for manager Joe Thon.
A 1-ball, no strike count to Isaiah Green. And Miley's pitch is foul tipped into the mid of Robleski. A Guerrero's uniform, it's got some orange trim around the sleeves. The ball cap has a bright orange backing, the white front, blue bill, and then the Los Guerreros uniform on the front of that cap. Black belts, white pants, high black socks for Daylen Miley on the mound. Here's the pitch. And it is a slider that tumbles into the zone, and it is 1-2. Miley with 4 scoreless on September 2nd against Down East. Struck out 8. That tied a season high. And now he has a pitch miss just inside. It is 2 balls and 2 strikes. Lynchburg in the green uniform, that lime green uni with Hillcats in that greenish-blue color across the chest. Small white numbers on the left side of the jersey, the front of the jersey, and big white numbers on the back of the uniform. Delivery and a line drive stroke to right. Whitaker comes in a couple of steps and makes the squeeze right at his chest to retire Isaiah Green for out number 2. So Daylen Miley sits down a couple, and that'll bring up Diane Frias.
And looking back to Tuesday night's game, Chappie, the last hit that Lynchburg recorded was in the top of the 6th inning. It has been a very long time since they've been able to break through in the hit column.
Yeah, Lynchburg probably wondering what they got to do to put one into the outfield or find somewhere on the infield to get a base hit. Miley at the shoulders kicks home. And there's a slider called a strike by home plate umpire Corey Gerber. He works the plate, and then Noble Yasuda, the other half of the two-man crew on the bases. He stands behind first. Two-man umpiring crew in the black caps, black polos, and they wear gray pants. Here's the 1-1. And a swing and a miss at a high fastball, 93 from Miley. And it's 1-2 on Frias. Frias batting .242. He's playing in a team-high 118th game this year. The 1-2 pitch. It is pop foul left side. That is a reliable player. Dian Frias to play in that many games, hardly ever gets days off, and 132 is a full season worth of ball games, and 118 probably right up there atop the league in most games played this season by any ball player. And now a breaking ball gets him, swinging strike three. Dalen Miley goes 1-2-3 in the first. We saw 9 innings of hitless baseball last night from the Woodpeckers pitching staff, and a hitless frame in the books now tonight. We go bottom one. It'll be Cole, Sacco, and Whitaker to get it started. We have the rest of the starting nine as well when we return.
Bunker's Entrance is brought to you by Cumberland Tractor Kubota of Fayetteville. Visit their location at 1530 Middle River Loop here in Fayetteville for a variety of services and Kubota equipment. Fans, let's make some noise for Lee Bunker! Fans, do you want free tacos? Well, here's your chance. If the Woodpeckers score 6 runs tonight, all fans in attendance will win a free taco from El Cazador. If the magic number hits, fans will receive a coupon on their way out tonight. Coupons are redeemable at any of their locations here in Fayetteville. Say, we want tacos with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. Tonight's Los Guerreros walk-up music is presented by the Big 95.7 WKML. Leading off the bottom of the first inning for Los Guerreros, the center fielder, number 35, Zach Cole.
Just underway in Segra Stadium. It is the bottom of the first inning, and Zach Cole leads it off for the Woodpeckers. Right-hander Alonzo Richardson. This is down and away with a first pitch fastball, 1-0. Cole, Sacco, and then Tyler Whitaker, the 1-2 and 3 in his first. Here's the kick and pitch. And that one shot foul on a line into the netting. 1-1. DeZenzo will back cleanup, and then Ryan Clifford, 5th. Leo Stanimolina, the shortstop, 6th. Ryan Wroblewski, 7th. Garrett McGowan is 8th, and then Jackson Lofton rounds it out. Cole takes down and away. And it is 2-1 on Cole. Alonzo Richardson, the 19-year-old, turns 20 come October 2nd, in the 7th, that is, in the offseason. Here's the pitch, and it misses high to Cole. 3-1. Originally from the San Diego area. And he was a non-drafted free agent signing immediately after the 5-round 2020 draft, even coming out of high school. Was expected to go into the draft if it was a little bit longer as Cole rips one deep on a line. Brown going back, looking up, it's out of here. Zach Cole leads off the night for Fayetteville with the long ball, his 2nd of the season. And first at Segra Stadium. Touch them all, the Woodpeckers lead 1-0.
Well, I mentioned in the pregame show, it's been a while since the Woodpeckers had hit a home run, but the last one coming from that man right there, Zach Cole, the 9th inning on Saturday night. Squares one up from Richardson. Bottom of the strike zone. Great power. It got out in a hurry. Excellent swing, and Woodpeckers in business early.
Tommy Sacco takes strike one. Yeah, they opened the scoring yesterday, of course, in the 3-0 win. Lynchburg put up 4 quickly on Tuesday, but that's been all from their offense. It's been all Woodpeckers since, and here's a sharp grounder. Speared by Richardson on the mound. It came right back to him. He jogs over to first and underhand flips to Bartlett, his first baseman, and retires Tommy Sacco on a 1-3. Here comes Tyler Whitaker. And Colin has a look at the Hillcats defense for you tonight.
Richard Paz back behind the plate for Lynchburg doing the catching. Will Bartlett, the first baseman. Jake Fox over at second. And Anel Angel Honau is now at short. Diane Frias, the third baseman. Left to right in the outfield, Marlon Mahde, Isaiah Green, and Jordan Brown for manager Omir Santos.
Here's the 0-1 to Whitaker, and it's a low fastball at 93. One ball and one strike to count. So Richardson gives up the home run before we could even give you his numbers tonight as Whitaker takes the slider down and away. It's 2-1. He does have that escalated ERA, 7.67. We'll get a little higher. This is just his seventh game with the Hillcats. He started the season at the Arizona Complex League. Whitaker pulls a ground ball to short. And now brings it in with two hands, throws to the shoulders of Bartlett at first, and there is out number two. A couple of ground outs following the home run, and Zach DiCenzo will now bat. Richardson has been giving up quite a bit of hard contact. That's the seventh home run he had surrendered in 27-plus innings this year. He's now given up 24 runs. All of them have been earned, 15 walks to 21 strikeouts. And now the pitch to start out DiCenzo is a fastball strike. 0-1 on Zach. DiCenzo cleanup hitter and DH. He's a right-handed batter, wide open stance. And a fastball misses outside at 95. Hardest one yet from Richardson. Threw hard coming out of high school. That's why he was on the draft radar and signed with Cleveland, even though he wasn't picked in the five-round draft. His fastball touched as high as 93 as a senior. And he was also a talented shortstop that can handle the bat. Originally signed as a shortstop, but then has only pitched as a pro so far. As a foul tip by DiCenzo gets him down a 2-2 count. DiCenzo trying to put it together this week at the plate. He's 0-for-8 in the first two games with five strikeouts. And now the 2-2 home. It is called strike three on the low outside corner. DiCenzo goes down looking, and Richardson bounces back quickly following the leadoff home run by Zach Cole. It's 1-0 tonight after one inning at Segres Stadium. Top two is next.
Show us those pearly smiles for the Catlett Family Dentistry Smile Cam. What I want. Los Guerreros, Daylen Miley. Leading off the top of the second inning for the Hillcats, the first baseman, number 27, Will Bartlett.
Well, Daylen Miley went 1-2-3 in the top of the first, and he gets a run of support in the home half. A Zach Cole solo home run puts the Woodpeckers in front. 1-0 in the early going tonight. Top two, and Will Bartlett, the right-handed hitting first baseman, leads it off for the Hillcats. Here's the first pitch, and it's a fastball strike on the inside corner, 0-1. Richard Paz is next, and then Victor Planchart, the DH. Miley got a ground out, line out, and strikeout of Dan Frias to end that first inning. Here comes swing and a miss at a high fastball. Miley with the challenge, and it's quickly 0-2. On Bartlett. Bartlett batting 217 over 78 games in the Carolina League this season, 55 hits. And 21 of those have gone for doubles. That is a great double rate there, double percentage. He also has a triple and three home runs. And there's strike three, a slider right over the middle as Dalen Miley mixes speeds and starts out the second inning with a backwards K.
Talk about how impressive Miley's been over the last couple of weeks. It's really a testament to the work that pitching coach John Kovalik has done with this entire staff. All season long, there's been some ups and downs, but when this staff is on, there's few that rival it throughout the entire Carolina League.
Richard Paz is now in, and the first pitch to him is popped up left side and over the Lynchburg dugout for a foul ball. 0-1 on Paz. He was out of the lineup yesterday, but played on Tuesday as the catcher got the start. Paz 225, that is, over 78 games. Takes a strike out of that outside corner of the zone. Consistent 93-mile-per-hour stuff right now from Miley on that fastball.
Some of the hardest heat we've seen from Miley all year long.
Yeah, each time he throws, he likes to stretch out the shoulders a little bit. And he kicks and fires. Misses high on the 0-2. One ball and two strikes. Paz with a couple of home runs. 43 driven in this year. 37 walks to 59 strikeouts. He's done a good job of making contact, limiting a ton of strikeouts. 1-2. And he taps that one foul right side. Count will stay where it is. You know, Miley was really locked in at the early stages of the year. He had a stretch of three straight outings where he didn't give up a run. Ended up spanning 12 innings between late April, early May. And now he's kind of finding that form again. The 1-2 hit on the line. That'll find right field. And it's the first Lynchburg hit since the sixth inning on Tuesday night. That ends a stretch of how many innings, Colin? We're up close to 14 hitless innings there as a staff.
Yeah, the Hillcats dugout kind of sarcastically jumping up and down in celebration after the long drought. But you knew it was coming eventually. Good contact from Paz. Squared one up, a little bit too much of the plate from Miley. As long as you keep putting balls in play, eventually one of them will find the outfield grass.
Will not be back-to-back no-hitters, unfortunately, for the Fayetteville Woodpeckers as the pitch to left-handed batter Planchart was outside 1-0. There's a couple guys on the railing to that dugout and said, hey, save that baseball. Toss that one back. We need that baseball in the dugout. Turn around the luck as a fastball runs away again, and it's two balls and no strikes on Planchart.
That's a benefit of clinching the first half title. You can kind of let your hair down the final couple of weeks, know you're in a playoff spot, and just have fun out there, even if the results weren't great like last night.
The 2-0, swinging a foul back into the net. You do wonder, though, what, you know, getting no hit at this stage in the season does for the confidence of a team that isn't necessarily the same group that won that first half championship. You have a lot of new guys on this club. There are a good amount of opening day roster guys still with Lynchburg, more so than Fayetteville has on their roster, but you get no hit a week before your postseason is supposed to start, and you got to try and find the confidence. And now a fly ball hit down the left field line. This is slicing into foul territory and runs into the net. Planchart will be in a two-ball and two-strike count. Lynchburg DH batting 252 over 63 games. His 13 doubles, a pair of home runs, and 29 driven in. 26 walks to go along with 60 strikeouts. 2-2 pitch from Miley, and it is spoiled off. He's tapped straight backwards, and it'll stay at two balls and two strikes. That was pitch number 30 for Dalen Miley. Over his four scoreless last week in Kinston, he needed 72 pitches, and that's kind of been the common number for him recently, 72, 73, 72, 74. That's the pitch count over his last four outings. 2-2. A swing and a miss. Down he goes. And Dalen Miley uses the changeup to pick up out number two of the second and record his third strikeout.
Kind of gets forgotten about a little bit. Talk about the fastball that sits around 93, 94, and that knockout slider he has. But he'll mix in that changeup from time to time, and it drops off the table. tough adjustment if you're sitting fastball coming to the plate, and there's a great example why.
And now it's Jordan Brown, and he swings late on a 94-mile-per-hour heater, 0-1. Brown with a pretty casual stance in that right side. It's an upright stance, not too much bend in the knees, and keeps that left foot a little bit open. Kind of shows the letters of his uniform to the first baseman. 0-1. And a slider works outside. It's one ball and one strike. Brown at just 185 this season, playing in game number 31 for Lynchburg. The pitch down to the dirt. Good block by Robleski. Keeps Richard Paz honest down at first base.
We talked about it all series long, the lack of power in this Hillcats lineup. One of the big reasons why they have that lack of power is they're missing a guy that they could have added if he was healthy after the draft, and that's Chase DeLauder out of James Madison University, drafted in the first round by Cleveland but currently recovering from a broken foot.
And a step off by Dalen Miley.
He's one of the more intriguing power bats in the entire draft class, and no surprise to see him take in the middle of that first round.
Could be a name we end up seeing at the early stages of the 2023 Carolina League season. A swing, foul tip, and Brown now in a 2-2 even count. Dalen Miley trying to strike out the side and work around the one-out single from Richard Paz. He still stands on first. Fayetteville leads 1-0. On the Zach Cole solo home run in the bottom of the first. Miley's set and delivery. Strikes him out, a slider to the outside, and that's four strikeouts now through two scoreless for Dalen Miley. Lynchburg gets a hit for the first time in a long time, but they do not score it. It's 1-0 Woodpeckers going to the bottom of the second inning on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
It's T-shirt time. Get on your feet for the Brian Honda T-shirt toss. Make some noise.
She was singing in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat.
Okay.
Conversation got heavy.
Hey.
She had me feeling like she's ready to.
Watch out.
Segra provides Segra Stadium with free public Wi-Fi. Log on now by selecting hashtag GoSegra. Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Alonzo Richardson. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for Los Guerreros, the left fielder, the power hitter of the game, number 47, Ryan Clifford.
It's Ryan Clifford beginning the bottom of the second. And the first pitch is a changeup down and away to him from Alonzo Richardson. He gave up a solo home run to Zach Cole in the bottom of the first, but then went 1-2-3 with a couple of ground outs and a strikeout. Clifford swings and pops this one up, way up there, middle of the infield. Frias and Hanel nearly collide, but Frias able to dodge around his shortstop and bring that one in near the second base bag. That was a shortstop fly ball to catch, but Frias was insistent that he pulled it in, and out gave way, and that's out number one. They almost got their feet tangled up there, though.
Yeah, it was just such a high hit ball. It took forever to come down, and eventually Hanau had to back off of it the last second after he got run into while the ball was coming down.
Leo's Danny Molina takes strike one. That's one of those plays where a shortstop will joke around, draw a little line in the dirt with his cleat and say, all right, that's your side, this is my side. Here's the 0-1. And a pop fly out of play, right field. Nothing and two on Leo's Danny Molina. Great series so far for Leo, 4-for-6. Been on just about every plate appearance, it seems. 350 hitter over the month of September, 7-for-20. And he fouls a fastball straight backwards, still 0-2.
It's been a bit of a learning year for Leo, his first full year in single A, but the ups have been very, very high.
Here's a high chopper. It's hit softly towards second base. Fox with a quick footwork, picks it up, throws to first, and gets the out of Leo's Danny Molina. Seen Fox with some fast running on the bases, quick feet on the middle infield. There was actually a point out of an elementary school in Little League for Fox where he thought that basketball was going to be his primary sport. He loved playing basketball. He was a point guard. Even set aside baseball for a little bit, and he credits committing to basketball for that stretch of time as really improving his footwork now as a pro baseball player. Ground ball hit out to short, and now collects with one hand, throws across the body to first to get Robleski. And that'll end the inning. So we go to the third. Fayetteville retired quickly by Alonzo Richardson. They have a 1-0 lead after two tonight in Segra Stadium.
You want a tumbler and drink tickets courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Hey, show us those tumblers. So cool. Forget these game-worn and autographed jerseys will be available for purchase at our fan information table. In-game jersey sales will open at the first pitch of the game. Oh, it's happening right now. Plus, the other half of tonight's jerseys will be available for purchase online at 8 p.m. Back on the mound for Los Guerreros, Daylen Miley. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Bills.
Daylen Miley threw two scoreless. He's K'd four, and the Woodpeckers lead 1-0 in the third. It's Marlon Madej stepping up for the first time, and now on the play-by-play for the first time tonight, here is Colin Casey.
Thank you so much, Andrew. A swing and a miss, and Madej falls behind 0-1. Daylen Miley struck out the side in the second inning and has struck out each of the last two batters he has faced. Total of four on the night. Madej hitting 154 on the season. The lefty waits and foul tips it right into Robleski's mitt. And another 0-2 count. That's been a big reason why Miley has been so successful, not just tonight, but throughout the months of August and September. So many 0-2 counts that he has put himself into. And he makes another swing and miss from Madej. Three straight strikeouts for Daylen Miley. Five on the night, one away in the third.
Well, he's established his fastball right out of the gate, Colin. He's challenged, guys. Top of the zone. You see the radar readings on it. 93 and 94 has been flashed, and that's helping his slider become really unpredictable and even harder to adjust on for these Hillcats first time through. He looks locked in.
Another lefty in Angel Henao. Takes the slider in the dirt. Henao, just 18 years old. 167, no homers, and one RBI. In the Dominican Republic. Slight shift on for the Woodpeckers infield. And the 1-0 is down and inside, showing bunt. was Hanau. And the Hillcats locked into the playoffs. They will take on the Fredericksburg Nationals in the North Division Finals. 2-0. Fastball outside. Winner of that series will take on either Charleston or Myrtle Beach after the South Division Finals. Crown the 2022 Carolina League champions. Start of both those series will be on Tuesday. 3-0, up and away, ball four. So Miley, after going through eight batters, recording seven outs and just one single, has trouble finding the plate and issues a four-pitch walk to Angel Hanau. As far as walks go for Miley, he's only given up one in each of his last two outings. He did walk four batters back on August 20th in Zebulon against the Carolina Mudcats. He only gave up a pair of hits in that ball game. So when he's given up base runners, it's usually walks or hits, not both at once. One each so far, and a fastball called a strike on the outside corner on Jake Fox. Fox bounced out, second his first time up. Now takes his lead off first. McGowan holding him on. The 0-1. Right at the knees. 0-2. Miley, 24 years old, out of Toledo, Ohio. Signed a little over a year ago as an undrafted free agent following the 2021 draft. 0-2 chased and missed. Another strikeout for Miley, making six. That's out number two.
You know, Miley's had multiple occasions this year where he's tied that season-high strikeout total, eight. He's done it a few different times, including his last time out. He struck out no fewer than seven over his last three games, so it's really been working for him. And at this rate, he's on pace to set some new season-high totals in his final appearance of the season. That'd be a great way to go out.
He has struck out six batters or more in his last six times in his last eight outings. Ball one to Isaiah Green. He's going up against this lefty-heavy lineup that Lynchburg has put out there, and lefties have had a bit more success against Miley than righties. A throw over, McGowan digs it out of the dirt. Back of the dive is Hanau. Coming into tonight, 225 batting average for righties compared to 243 for lefties. Miley with the 1-0 in the dirt, but a nice stop there from Ryan Robleski.
We mentioned that stretch, Colin, that Miley's on right now where he's really racking up consistent strikeouts. You look back at the game log, and between July 14th and then July 27th, that's where that period starts. And it was about a two-week layoff for Dalen, where he had K'd only four batters across four outings. So there was pretty much no strikeout coming from him at all. And then the layoff, and he's been rolling ever since.
High pop-up, left side, crossing into foul territory. The third baseman loft, and that ball lands out of play into the second row of the seats.
So something was tweaked there in that period where it was a little bit of a reset period for Miley. Maybe a little bit of arm fatigue as you're reaching that All-Star break portion of the season. And he came out of that All-Star break, and that's when the strikeout stretch has really started for him.
Count is 2-1 on Green. With the hardest hit contact of the ball game, arguably, for Lynchburg, a line out to right field. Pitches inside. That is ball three. This will be pitch number 51 for Miley. Generally is sat in the low to mid 70s as far as pitch count goes throughout the season. Outside, ball four, second walk of the inning issued by Dalen. And Green heads down to first base. Two on, two down. Prompt a mound visit from the catcher, Robleski. 3 games left after tonight. One final weekend in downtown Fayetteville. Friday night's game, 7:05. Saturday, 5:05 start. And then a 2:05 Sunday ball game on the 11th to wrap up the season.
You know, this year we were left without any drama in the second half playoff races. First half came down to the final days, a tiebreaker in the north. Charleston and Myrtle Beach going head-to-head in the south. Everything's all said and done. Charleston won the south yesterday with a win over Columbia. Fredericksburg locked it in on Tuesday, so next few nights don't mean anything for the playoff hunts.
Diane Frias takes ball one just off the outside corner, not just last year, but also in the first half of this year, had a very tight playoff race in which Lynchburg seemingly stole that first half from two or three other teams in the division. Frias gets a piece. Of course, in the South Division, it was a two-horse race, and it was the two favorites, essentially, in the field with the Charleston River Dogs and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, and Myrtle Beach just snuck away with the first half title. But Charleston roaring back in the second half. A dominant season for the River Dogs, and they will meet the Pelicans in the South Division Finals. A little bit low, 2-1 on Frias. Lynchburg taking the opening game by a 4-3 final. They got it done with the extra base hit early on against Nick Swanson. There's a fly ball, struck pretty well out to center field. Coming over is Whitaker, but it's actually the left fielder, Clifford, who calls off the Zach Cole center fielder. And that ends the inning. So a couple of walks issued by Daylon Miley, but he pitches a clean third inning. To the bottom half we go. Fanville 1, Lynchburg nothing on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
John F.A.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, John F.A., baby, huh? Tú sabes. Dice.
Me calientas cuando me hablas de hacer el amor. A las 12 yo te llamo pa' vernos los dos. Si te va a llamar tu novio, solo apaga el phone. Esta noche nos devoramos hasta que salga el sol. Hace tiempo que no estamos uno que otro vuelto. Que en mi carro no fugamos directo a la mansión. Si de noche tú estás sola, ponte tu Cristian Dior. Esta noche nos devoramos entre el humo y alcohol.
Voy pasando por los dos pistolitas, baby. Tú comes media hora, termina tu training. Yo sé lo mismo y tienes tu rutina daily, pero más tarde te clavo como un buen Julian Baby. Yo soy tu papi, papi, mami, eres mi lady. Tú estás muy pretty para andar con ese RD. Tú eres enfermera y te visito allí en la clínica. Y me piensa toda hora, aunque yo no en la TV. Me gusta tu faldita cuando ya está mini. Te como donde sea en el baño o en el living. Prende un feeling pa' que la pasemos chilling. Pero tú eres fin y quieres que brindemos con Vini.
Hace tiempo que no damos uno que otro vuelto.
Fans, let's hear it for John F.A.
Once you strike that match, there ain't no turning back.
Leading off the bottom of the third inning for Los Guerreros, the first baseman, number 44, Garrett McGowan.
The big lefty, Garrett McGowan, begins the bottom of the third inning at the plate. Takes a fastball from Alonzo Richardson up and away. Woodpeckers on top, 1-0. Here on the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, and MILB.TV. A wave and a miss, 1-1 on McGowan, who's hitting 0-89 on the season. No homers, 6 runs driven in. Richardson winds and fires, and McGowan gets a hold of one. Deep right field, Brown back by the wall. He reaches up. Does he have it? Yes, he does. Don't know if he took a home run away, but Jordan Brown used every inch of Segra Stadium to make that catch up against the fence for a loud out number one.
Garrett McGowan off the bat. I think he and probably everybody in this ballpark thought he had his first pro homer. It just looked like it was high enough and had enough behind it to get over that fence, but that wall does start to recede a little bit, getting out towards the 357-foot marker, and I think that's the difference. I don't think Brown took a home run back, but had his glove right up against the top of the wall.
Nine-hitter Jackson Lofton sprays one down the right field line, foul.
No doubt it's been an adjustment for McGowan to the pro side of hitting, so you're hoping he'll get one of those maybe by season's end.
0-2 in Lofton, hits it back up the middle to second baseman Fox charging, throws across his body, and retires Lofton for the second out. So Alonzo Richardson has set down 8 in a row after giving up the leadoff home run to the man coming to the plate back in the first inning, Zach Cole. Cole got a 3-1 off speed at the bottom of the zone and hit a frozen rope just over the right field fence, not too far from where McGowan's ball traveled. Swing and a miss, 0-1 on Cole. Richardson delivers. And the off speed just off the plate. It was a special night for this Woodpeckers team last night. There's a swing and a miss. Everyone in that dugout enjoying it. Everyone except the manager, Joe Thon, who returns tonight after a 2-game suspension. He was the only one that wasn't here for the ball game. 2-2 on Cole.
I'm told he was waiting in the tunnel for his guys after the game. And
that's good.
He could be in the dugout, but he could be in the tunnel under the ground rules. And he was there high-fiving his guys, shaking their hands. And, of course, giving a congratulations to his development coach, Vincent Blue, who was serving as the active manager and has a 50% win percentage now as a manager and a no-hitter under his belt.
You have to think Vince would use that as some sort of leverage for a raise.
Maybe. Nope. I would. It goes at least top of the resume for sure.
Yeah. Payoff pitch. Low and outside in. Zach Cole draws a 2-out walk. He's the only man who has reached base against Alonzo Richardson throughout the ball game. And saw the power earlier. Now we'll see if the speed will be on display. Cole himself a stolen base yesterday, and he is no stranger to trying to swipe the bag. Tommy Sacco chops the first pitch foul towards the on-deck circle. Sacco grounded out sharply right to Richardson. Stuck his glove out, knocked it down, and tossed it over to first base for the first out of the inning. Cole on the move. Pitch misses high and outside. The throw is skipped in. Ends up in center field. Cole gets up, and he's heading to third. In with a slide. A stolen base for Cole. Advances to third base on the error. Zach Cole turning nothing into a scoring threat with two down like he has done all season long with Fayetteville.
Yeah, you just knew he'd be breaking for second, calling in a two-out spot like that with his speed. You got to go. And you try and force that catcher to throw errantly, and that's what happened. Now it's like a two-out triple.
Down and in on Sacco. It's 2-1. And it was Sacco who benefited from Zach Cole with a leadoff single in the bottom of the sixth inning last night. Cole stole second and then scored on the single from Sacco for Fayetteville. Here Sacco hits one on the ground to second, but right at Jake Fox throws to first to end the inning. A little bit of excitement from Zach Cole once again, but he is left at third to end the third. Fayetteville still on top, 1-0 after three from Segra Stadium.
Make some noise to let us know where you're sitting.
We saw into your love. OB on the drums. On the drums.
OB on the drums.
No sé qué tiene tu mirar. Será tu forma de bailar. Cuando nos besamos, sentimos que nos gustamos. Y cuando te tengo en mis brazos, el tiempo pasa volando. Oh, oh. Y cuando yo te vi, te vi, te vi, te vi, me enamoré. contacto. Y ahora que estás aquí, 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 quiero hacerte pasar un buen rato, el mejor de los ratos.
Y cuando yo te vi, te vi, te vi, te vi, me enamoré de inmediato, eso fue en el acto. Ahora que estás aquí, 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 baby, quiero hacerte pasar un buen rato, el mejor de los ratos. Oh.
Nos dimos par de pico y no ha pasado nada, solo quería saber si te gustaba. Cuando te reías me encantaba y yo como loco perdido en tu mirada. Ese beso que nos dimos en la noche mientras bailabas son cosas que no me esperaba. Sentí que yo te gustaba.
Tú tienes la fórmula y la actividad. Dame una vueltica y empieza a bailar. Tú me gustas tanto que si tú te vas me pongo nervioso y empiezo a temblar. Ya no me interesa, mami, las demás. Mueve ese cuerpazo y acércate más a mí.
Back on the mound for Los Guerreros, Daigle and Miley. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Hillcats, the first baseman, number 27, Will Bartlett.
Quiero hacerte pasar un buen rato, el mejor de los ratos.
Daigle and Miley back on the mound to begin the fourth inning. He will face the middle of the Lynchburg Hillcats order, Will Bartlett. The right-hander digs in, and the first pitch to Bartlett is fouled straight back. He was called out on strikes to begin the second inning. Miley now at 55 pitches, no throwing just yet in the Fayetteville bullpen. So we'll see if Daigle can get to that five-inning mark. That is his season long. Still got six more outs to get to reach that checkpoint. Called strike two on Bartlett. Just about a full moon over downtown Fayetteville. Just to the right of our broadcast booth up the first baseline. A check swing, and Bartlett went around. That's strike three. Another punch out for Daigle and Miley. He is up to seven, one shy of tying that season high of eight.
It's about every pitch in the repertoire for Daigle is a strikeout pitch, whether it's the challenge fastball top of the zone or the changeup slider below the zone. He's mixing the eye level and the timing of Lynchburg perfectly. That's what we have to do second time through an order when those hitters make an adjustment. Give them something they haven't seen.
First pitch to Richard Paz is right there. Actually a little bit high, 1-0. Pitch, same spot, just a hair above the zone. Paz is the only hit of the ball game for Lynchburg. Sharply hit single through the right side of the infield. Here comes a 2-0, a wave and a miss. Miley, since August 1st, has 45 strikeouts compared to just 13 walks. It's a ratio of well over 4-1. Just another example of how dominant he's been over the last 5-6 weeks. 3-1 though on Paz. Victor Planchart waits on deck. Miley delivers, and he misses high once again. Issues his third walk of the ball game. And over to first goes Paz. The Blanchard, the strikeout victim himself, his first time up. Look to flip the script. Look over at first base by Miley. And he fires. Fouled straight back to begin the at-bat. While the Woodpeckers are out of playoff contention, things still heating up in the high A affiliate of the Houston Astros, the Asheville Taurus. They won yesterday in extra innings, in 12 innings, in fact, over the Greenville Drive. Blanchard waves and misses again. But they're still right there. Despite winning, they actually lost ground half a game on the Rome Braves, who are now up 2.5 games. Magic number 4 for Rome. At this point, all Asheville can do is win every game remaining and hope for the best. But crazy to think that they're right there in the middle of a playoff hunt based on how the first half of the season went for the Taurus. Blanchard takes a waste pitch in the dirt. You got to give a lot of credit to some of the former Woodpeckers from the first half of the season that have really rejuvenated that Asheville lineup. Guys like Kennedy Corona, Quincy Hamilton before he was promoted to Double-A Corpus Christi, Joey Loperfido, who has been shut down for the rest of the season on the injured list. Count now even 2-2. And of course, the pitching staff. Seems like every arm that has gone up to high A has contributed for the Taurus. Good example of that in yesterday's win. Casey Ford picked up his second victory with Asheville, and Jacob DeLabio earned his second save as a member of the Taurus. The 2-2 pop up. This will stay on the infield. The third baseman Lofton shading towards the foul line, and he makes the catch for the second out. Runner still at first, and Jordan Brown will try to keep the inning alive for Lynchburg. We talked about how long it had been since Lynchburg had a hit prior to the single from Paz in the second inning. They haven't scored a run since the third inning on Tuesday night. This is a team that has struggled offensively since the first third of the series. First third of the first it game of the series. A lot of thirds there involved.
Yeah, Woodpeckers have scored 7 unanswered runs since that 4-0 start to Tuesday's game for Lynchburg.
1-0, a good-looking fastball from Miley at 94, 1-1.
And you score the final 3 runs of that Tuesday game. You win 3-0 yesterday in the no-hitter and put the first run on the board tonight with the Cole home run. It's all Fayetteville.
This will be pitch number 71. And it misses upstairs. A back pick attempt by Robleski, but it's late. Paz back with a dive. Jordan Brown struck out to end the second inning. He was in the lineup yesterday batting ninth and went 0-3. Went 1-4 in the series opener. And Brown tees one up out to left center field, and that ball will hit off the base of the wall, fielded by Cole, thrown in quickly, and that's able to hold the runner at third. Great job by Zach Cole to get that ball in rapidly. Richard Paz stays at third. It's a two-out double for Jordan Brown, and the Hillcats are threatening with two away.
Well, Jordan Brown has struggled a bit to hit at the pro level since he was a 6th-round draft pick, but that just shows some of the power he does have within him. It's probably one of the harder balls he's hit all year for the Hillcats, and I thought it was out calling off the bat. Had a little bit of a maybe topspin to it, and it hit right off the middle of that fence. But that is some loud contact, and I don't know if Paz wasn't running right away or what the case was there, but it's good to get it in quickly by the Fayetteville outfield and save the run.
Marlon Madej, with that front toe pointed in, wave and a miss. Madej struck out last inning in his lone at-bat of the ball game, but a base hit here likely would put his team ahead. Fayetteville infield playing back. Check swing, and Madej able to hold up. This likely would be it for Miley, given his pitch count. But a chance to end it on a high note by stranding a couple of runners in scoring position. Dalen's 1-1. Bad swing out of the zone, and Madej falls behind 1-2. Can Miley pick up that eighth strikeout for a third straight game? Pardon me, the third time in the last four games. The 1-2. Breaking ball, chased after for strike three. It bounces up the line. Robleski picks it up, moves to his right, and throws onto McGowan to end the inning. Eight strikeouts for Daylen Miley over four scoreless innings. He strands a pair to end the top of the fourth inning. He will be greeted by his teammates at the top step of the dugout as he heads on in. Fayetteville remains out front 1-0 as we go to the bottom of the fourth on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Cuando te vi no pensé que fuera real. Con esa carita y tu cuerpo sensual. Tú sabes lo que quiero, nena. Tú sabes lo que quiero. Quiero bailar contigo. Quiero bailar contigo. Tú sabes lo que quiero, nena. Tú sabes lo que quiero, quiero bailar contigo, quiero bailar contigo. Yo quiero bailar contigo, nena, y quiero ver cómo mueves tus caderas, cómo haces crack, crack, crack. Ven acércate a mí un poquito más. Yo quiero que me bailes, nena, y quiero ver cómo mueves tus caderas. ¿Cómo haces crack, crack, crack? Pégate más, más, más. Oye, mamacita, no te hagas la loca. Todo el mundo sabe que soy yo quien te provoca. Sabes que yo quiero tenerte a mi lado. Tú me vuelves loco, me tienes enamorado. Con esa carita y tu movimiento. Ay, nena, tú no sales de mi pensamiento. Es que tú me gustas, me encantas demasiado. Mamacita, por ti yo estoy desesperado. Tú sabes lo que quiero.
Fans, let's hear it for Mark McRoy. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for Los Guerreros, the right fielder.
Heart of the order for Fayetteville, 3-4-5, Tyler Whitaker, followed by Zach DiCenzo and Ryan Clifford. In the bottom of the fourth inning, Woodpeckers on top, 1-0. Whitaker 0-1 with a ground out to short in his first AB. Slider down and away from Alonzo Richardson, who has bounced back nicely after surrendering the leadoff home run to Zach Cole back in the bottom of the first inning. Ground ball hit to third by Whitaker, backhanded by Frias. The long throw is in time for out number one. So Whitaker has been retired on a 6-3 and 5-3 put out. And with one down, base is empty, it's Zach DiCenzo. DiCenzo still looking for that elusive first hit of the series. He swings underneath the first pitch, pops it up behind home plate. Pause. Backing up, he drops it. It popped in and out of his mitt. The late adjustment here to have stumbled Paz, and he just could not bring it in. Ball was swaying back towards the Woodpeckers dugout. And that gives DiCenzo another chance at the plate. That pitch popping out of Paz's mitt again. 1-1. Richardson, unlike Miley, has been able to keep his pitch count a lot further down. This is number 46, and it's again hit to the left side of the infield. Another chance for Frias. Strong throw beats DiCenzo to the bag. Two up, two down for Richardson against the Fayetteville heart of the order. Well, we mentioned last inning, the Asheville Tourists trying to stay alive in the playoff hunt, and they're off to another impressive start tonight. They're up in front, out in front, 3-1 over Greenville. That game in the bottom of the fourth inning. And a couple of home runs for the visiting Tourists, no pun intended, including Zach Daniels. had a two-home run game on Tuesday, and he's added another on Thursday night. A pop-up behind third base, Frias with another opportunity, and he makes the catch. He factors into all three outs in the 1-2-3 bottom of the fourth inning for Alonzo Richardson. We're on to the fifth from Segra Stadium. Still a 1-0 lead for Fayetteville.
Travel down a road.
We're extremely grateful to have wonderful season ticket holders who support the Woodpeckers year in and year out. Every game this season, we'll randomly select one lucky season ticket holder to be our Hutchins High Performance season ticket holder of the game. This individual will take home a prize courtesy of Hutchins Law Firm. Tonight's high performance season ticket holder of the game is Art Bisbee. Congratulations, Art. Cool as a fan. Fayetteville Woodpeckers 2023 season memberships are on sale now. Be sure to secure your seat for all 66 games of Woodpeckers baseball next year. For more information, stop by the fan information table, and we'll see you back here in 2023.
If it's a car you lack, I'd surely buy you a Cadillac.
Back on the mound for Los Guerreros, Daylen Miley. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Hillcats.
Well, Daylen Miley will get an opportunity to pitch into the fifth inning and perhaps set a new season high in strikeouts. He comes in with eight on the night. He'll be greeted by the nine-hitter Angel Hanau. And back on the play-by-play, here's Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Swing and a foul tip into the glove for strike one. Daylen has tied that season high multiple occasions. Three separate times this year he struck out to eight batters prior to tonight. Now the fourth time he's done it, and there's strike two on the outside corner. Daylen might not have the pitch count available to get through five tonight, become eligible for a winning decision, but trying to be as economical as he can. Hanau walked his last time. Now the kick in 0-2. Miley misses up and away. Jake Fox next, then Isaiah Green. It's 1-0 Woodpeckers on the solo home run from Zach Cole, the leadoff batter in the bottom of the first. We haven't seen a ton of that this year. Leadoff home run, start a ball game. Here's the set and the pitch. It is a low slider. That's the old Jose Altuve, though, for the big league club. Houston homering to begin a game. He does that all the time, it seems like. Slight shift on the infield to the pull side of the lefty. Miley's 2-2 is a little high.
I believe the all-time record holder is Ian Kinsler for the most leadoff home runs by a player. I know Mookie Betts did it a ton when he was in Boston.
Sure.
Especially during his MVP season.
Easy to forget how good Ian Kinsler was with Texas over those years. Swing and a miss. There's number nine for Daylen. A new season high in the strikeout column for Miley. And he has one away in the fifth. How much further will they let him go? That is the question as Jake Fox, the leadoff man for Lynchburg, steps in for a third time.
Saw a nod in the dugout from manager Joe Thon. So seems like that was a nod of approval for him to get another batter and go for double digits.
Now it's Jake Fox, who has struck out, swinging in the third, also grounded out to Tommy Sacco, and a first pitch placed for strike one. Daylen Miley has struck out seven of the nine batters tonight. The two that have not struck out yet are Green, who's on deck, and Richard Paz, the five-hitter catcher. Miley's high set, and 0-1. Scoots Fox off of the plate.
And it would be the fifth instance that a Fayetteville Woodpecker pitcher struck out 10 batters in an outing. So far this season, Ernesto Jaquez, Edinson Batista, and Miguel Uyola twice. Members of that club.
Third baseman Lofton playing shallow. Molina is all the way up the middle, as far as he can go. And here's the set and pitch to Fox. He hits it off the end of the bat. Miley Fields right at the top of his ball cap, throws routinely to first. And it's two up, two down in the fifth for Daylen Miley. But that will be all. Curtains for Daylen as Joe is coming out of the dugout to take the ball from Daylen. And I wonder if we'll get any of an argument out of him. He wants to, no doubt, try and go five, make it clean, and be eligible for his fourth winning decision tonight. But after a little bit of back and forth, Daylen Miley won't go any further. A couple of parting words for his infield buddies and his manager. Daps up his guys and heads back to the dugout. He'll get a great ovation. Walking off the field in front of this Thursday night crowd, Daylen Miley gives up just two hits tonight and goes 4 2/3 scoreless innings. Strikes out a season-high 9 batters and turns the game over to Walker Brockhaus. We'll tell you more about him when we come back in a moment from Segra Stadium. Calypso, 1 2 3 Calypso, Calypso, 1 2 3 Calypso.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, Los Guerreros, number 46, Walker Brockhaus.
We pray for rain and thank him when it's falling, because it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate, I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise. Side getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running. Saved by the sound of a pin found Dixie whistled in the wind. That'll get you heaven bound. The devil went down to Georgia, but he didn't stick around. This is God's country. We turn the dirt and work until the week's done. We take a break.
Now batting for the Hillcats, the center fielder, number 22.
Walker Brockhaus takes over on the mound for the Woodpeckers behind Daylen Miley. It was a great start tonight for Miley that ends after 4 2/3 innings. Brockhaus delivers a fastball for a strike, 96 miles an hour, to left-handed hitter Isaiah Green. He's 0 for 1 with a line out to right. He walked in the third against Miley, didn't strike out. 9 Ks for Daylen, a season high. 3 walks, no runs, 2 hits. Over 4 2/3. So Brockhaus inherits the 1-0 Woodpeckers lead. Tall right-hander kicks and fires. And a ground ball hit over towards third. Diving left side Lofton, but it's under him and out into left center. Isaiah Green comes up with his first hit and third tonight by the Lynchburg offense. A two-out single. Dan Frias ends up getting a chance to bat. Brockhaus pitching for a third time with the Woodpeckers. He pitched 10 games last season with them. Saw a little bit of time in Asheville this year, 5 games with the Tourists after getting injured, and then he went back to the complex. Returned to full season ball with Fayetteville. Runner on the move to second. Here's Wroblewski's throw. A one hopper, and the tag is placed by Molina to get it. Isaiah Green got tagged right on the left hand, diving headfirst into the bag. He's arguing with Nobu Yasuda, who walks away, and the inning is over. So Brockhaus gives up the single but gets some help from his catcher. And after 4.5 tonight, the Woodpeckers carry a 1-0 lead.
Double play Doug has our contestants down on the field. Take it away, DP.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks. From Fort Bragg, it's the United States Army John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School versus 3rd Special Forces Group. It's Kennedy and her dad, Steve, versus Michaela and Teddy. Are you guys ready? In 3, 2, 1, go, ladies, go. Uh-oh. Special Warfare Center's in the lead. Come on, Kennedy. Dad's waiting. Steve's ready. Come on, Kennedy. Do it for Special Warfare. Come on, Steve. Oh, Steve's crushing it. Oh, my goodness. Third Special Forces Group takes home the victory. Congratulations to Steve and his daughter, Kennedy. Give a big round of applause. Hey, come here. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
Fans, be sure to come out tomorrow night for Fan Appreciation Night. The first 1,000 fans through the gates will receive a 2022 team card set presented by Sunny 94.3. After the last out, we'll light up the sky with fireworks presented by Kennedy's Termite and Pest Control. Plus, we'll have t-shirt tosses and plenty of prizes all game long. Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Alonzo Richardson. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for Los Guerreros, the shortstop.
Bottom five in the Woodpeckers holding a 1-0 lead on the Zach Cole leadoff home run in the first tonight. Leo Stanley Molina swings out in front of Alonzo Richardson changeup, and he's down 0-1. Leo tonight is grounded out to second base, 0-1. Here's the kick and pitch. A ground ball pulled towards third. It's backhanded by Frias behind the bag. He sets the feet, throws firm across the diamond, and that is out number one. You know, as good of a night as Dalen Miley had, you have Alonzo Richardson on the other side of the equation, who is also shut down Fanville outside of that Zach Cole home run. He's allowed just the one hit, the long ball, walks Cole, but that's the only Woodpecker to reach against him tonight. He retired 8 in a row before walking Cole and now has recovered to set down 5 straight. He pitches down and in to Robleski with a changeup, 1 ball and no strikes. Richardson trying to complete 5 as he gets Robleski to cut it a high one and miss. His pitch count is a very steady 51 right now, and he's been all over the strike zone. 51 pitches, 33 strikes. The right-hander deals, and this line drive is pulled by the dive of Frias and out in the left field. There's the first Woodpecker to grab a hit tonight outside of Zach Cole. And there's one out.
It's been an impressive week for Ryan Robleski. 2 games, 3 hits so far. He got off to an 0-2 start back in the opener on Tuesday. A couple of strikeouts, but since then, he's been money at the plate.
So Garrett McGowan swings at the first one and tattoos a line drive to center. It's over Green's head and all the way to the base of the wall. Robleski getting to third, and he's getting the windmill from Joe Thon. A late stop sign, cutoff throw comes in, and a wise hold as Robleski stays at third, and McGowan pulls in with a stand-up double.
Well, he wasn't able to get one out in his first at-bat by a matter of inches, so he decides, you know what, I'll hit it to dead center field and see if Isaiah Green can run that down. He couldn't get there in time. Ball rolls all the way to the wall, and a wise stop at third. Holding up Robleski. Would have been a close play at the plate, but one out in the inning. You trust your guy in Lofton at the plate to try to drive home these runs.
Here's Lofton with one away, a 1-0 Fayetteville lead, and the pitch is up high. Well, in terms of exit velocity tonight for Garrett McGowan, this is one of his best nights as a pro. That fly ball to right that fell just inches shy of his first pro home run, and now a deep liner to straightaway center field. The 1-0 to Lofton. He checks on a low slider, and he held the hands. It's 2 balls and no strikes. Alonzo Richardson has been with Lynchburg since August 3rd, and on 4 separate occasions has gone at least 5 innings, trying to do it for a 5th time tonight. The fastball is outside. It's now 3-0 on Lofton. A walk would load the bases for the man that has hit the home run, Zach Cole.
Seems like an ideal situation for Fayetteville.
Lynchburg infield now playing in towards the grass. Middle infield a little bit back on the dirt. 3-0 is upstairs. No, called strike right below the letters. Kind of a late strike call from Corey Gerber. And Jackson Lofton just wanted to ask the question, is that as high as you're going to go? Usually how that goes as a hitter. Here's the set and 3-1 pitch. Lofton takes a strike on the outside corner. And again, Lofton was starting to walk up that first base line. And he's talking more with Gerber. Tested the top of the zone, the outside of the zone. Richardson's pulled it back full. He only has one strikeout tonight. As many batters as he's set down, he's been using the defense behind him. There's been a lot of ground balls primarily that have led to the Fayetteville outs. Whole infield still shallow. Outfield straight up. And the 60th pitch of the night is a payoff to Lofton. He swings and fouls it into the netting. Stays full, 3-2. Jackson Lofton 0-for-1 with a ground out to second base. Here's the pitch. And he sticks the bat out, goes to second. It's picked up by Fox. He looks the runner back to third, goes to first, and sets down Jackson Lofton. Perfectly played. That's why you bring the middle infield in. It holds Rybleski down at third base. And it'll come down to Zach Cole to try and add on or extend this inning.
It works out, too. You don't want to try to send that runner in Rybleski, not the fastest guy. Try to score on a ball that didn't leave the infield. You trust the hottest hitter in your lineup to try to drive in these runs.
First pitch is a slider that weaves to the inside. It missed. One ball and no strikes on Cole. The solo home run in the first. His second of the year, second in the last week. He went deep over the weekend in Kinston. And then he walked in the third. Only walk given up by Richardson. And Cole sprays one foul. One ball and one strike. We talked about his power in college at Ball State. 14, 15 home runs, I believe, in his senior season for Ball State. And only a matter of time before some of that power translates over to the wood bat. He checked and held on a high fastball. It's now a 2-ball-1-strike count.
He's just got such a violent swing, and that's why I made the comparison to Cerny, both guys that generate so much bat speed.
The delivery, another check on a high one. No appeal, and it's 3-1. Corey Gerber didn't need one. It was a 13 home runs his final season at Ball State. He drove in 47 runs. He doubled 10 times, tripled 9 times. So had that high slugging percentage as a college ball player. As the 3-1 is a breaking ball that got the outside corner, a daring pitch from Richardson.
And the exact same pitch for the 3-1 count that he threw that Cole took him deep on.
Trying to strand two in scoring position. Cole trying to extend the inning. He swings and misses at a payoff pitch. And Alonzo Richardson pounds the glove. He comes up with his second strikeout. In a critical spot, stranding Rybleski at third and McGowan at second. The Woodpeckers unable to add on to their 1-0 lead. We are through 5 tonight at Segra Stadium. Woodpeckers baseball continues in a moment.
Kiss Cam. Basal 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 Cam.
Déjame robarte un beso que me llegue hasta el alma. Como un vallenato de esos viejos que nos gustaban. Sé que sientes mariposa.
Basal Cam. Basal Cam. Basal Cam. Back on the mound for Los Guerreros, Walker Brockhouse.
Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Hillcats, the third baseman, number two, Dyer Freeze.
Welcome back to Segrets, the top of the sixth inning. Walker Brockhauser got the final out of the fifth, returns through the sixth. Now he gets to work a clean frame, and the first pitch to Dion Frias is a fastball on the outside corner. He squared the bunt, pulled back, called strike anyways. And it's an 0-1 count. Frias, Bartlett, and Paz, the 3-4-5 heart of the order to face Brockhaus in this inning. Brockhaus looks in, winds, throws. And there's a fastball strike. Lofton in of third, now will retreat a little bit with the bunt threat off, and then you have Leo Stanny Molina shifted towards the middle. Here's the 0-2 down to the dirt, one ball and two strikes. You know, we've been watching all year, Colin, with these shifts and limitations of the infielders, two infielders on each side of second. Get ready to see it at the big league level.
That's right.
There was some news that came out today that we're going to see pitch clock shifts and larger bases coming to Major League Baseball as soon as next year, 2023, after the experimental rules have been going on in the minors for about 2 years. Major League Baseball ready to install them at the highest level. Here's the 2-2 pitch. A changeup missed away. 3-2 now on Frias.
And those who haven't really followed along all year long and wondering what it means, obviously faster paced games, but get ready for a lot more stolen bases.
That's right. Payoff outside. And Frias flips aside the bat. He's on with the leadoff walk. That is the first time tonight that the Hillcats have put the leadoff runner on. That's the fourth walk of the game. Three issued by Miley. One now for Brockhaus. And Will Bartlett gets to hit. Bartlett, the right-handed hitting first baseman, that is, takes the first pitch, a fastball away, and it is 1-0. Bartlett put together a really good month of May. That was his best month at the plate. He batted 308 over the month, but has struggled in July and August. The 1-0 is up high. As the season has gone along, he batted just 150 in July and then only 125 across August. Trying to get back to his May form. Might be a guy that you see a little more of with Lynchburg come 2023 before going up to the higher levels. Two ball, no strike pitch. And he swings and chops it foul over towards third. The Lake County Captains are the next level for the Cleveland Guardians, their High A affiliate.
And he's still just 21 years old after being drafted out of high school in 2019. So still plenty of time to develop as both a hitter and really just a big minor leaguer in general.
A set in the 2-1 pitch off the inside of the bat. It trickles up the first baseline. Brockhaus quickly off the mound to field, and he picks up with two hands, underhands to McGowan for out number one. Frias makes it to second base, and it turns into a little swinging bunt for Bartlett. He goes to 0-3. And now it's Richard Paz.
Quick conversation between Robleski and Brockhaus before this at bat. And at this stage of the game, sixth inning, runner in scoring position. Never know when you'll get another opportunity for Lynchburg, so they're going to do everything in their power to try to push home this tying run.
So Paz is in, man in scoring position. That's the tying run for Lynchburg on second base. Frias, the pitch from Brockhaus is a little elevated, and it's one ball and no strikes. Paz has reached both plate appearances, a single in the second and a walk in the fourth. The 1-0 down and inside, and it is two balls and no strikes. Richard coming off a tough month of August. He batted just 170 in August. 21 years old, originally from Venezuela. The delivery, a swing and a miss on a low fastball as Brockhaus gets it to 2-1. Played in the Arizona League last season, 26 games. He had a really good showing in the AZL, 360 hitter. He hit six home runs, 25 ribbies over those 26 games. 2-1 pitch is a little bit outside. doesn't quite have those types of power totals in the Carolina League, but there's no doubt a breakout 2021 for him to put him on the radar in the Cleveland system. 3-1. And he swings and hits that ball deep down the right field line, hooking towards the pole, and it is a fair ball that gets into the corner, falls short of the fence. Whitaker taking a while to retrieve it. Here comes the cutoff throw to third, and it is not in time. A game-tying triple for Richard Paz as he tucks it inside of that right field chalk line and goes for three.
Talk about a game of inches. Just able to stay in the park, but unfortunately for the Woodpeckers, it just snuck onto that chalk and ends up in that corner. That's a long way to run for the right fielder Whitaker, and plenty of time for Paz to round second and jug on into third base. Completely changed the outcome, the outlook on this game now for Lynchburg. They're in the driver's seat, tie ball game. Go ahead, run in scoring position with less than two outs.
Whole infield will play in. Three of the four batters, that is a line drive is hit out into left field. They'll give Lynchburg the lead. Scoring from third, Richard Paz, and it's an RBI single from Victor Planchard. Four of the five batters now have reached against Walker Brockhaus that he has faced. And Lynchburg has turned it around from radio silence on their end from really the third inning on Tuesday on forward. They've finally woken up here in the sixth inning on Thursday night. Middle infield recedes as the pitch comes in to right-handed batter Jordan Brown, and it missed outside. He ripped a deep line drive double off the left center field wall his last time in the fourth. Hardest hit ball against Dalen Miley tonight. Brockhaus is 1-0. Is a slider on the high outside corner. It's called a strike, 1-1.
And these are the type of at-bats that the Hillcats need if they want to have any chance against the Fredericksburg Nationals in the playoffs. They got to take advantage of RBI situations, generate extra base hits, something they've struggled with all season long, but we've seen some flashes of potential for this Hillcats lineup throughout the series.
One ball, one strike offering is high. Yeah, that Fredericksburg National team is going to try and homer their way to a championship. They hit a lot of home runs. They're right up near the league lead with the Woodpeckers. High slugging percentage, but yeah, for Lynchburg, if they want to try and make a postseason run, it's going to need to be with situational hitting like we've seen here in the sixth. 2-1 pitch is high. No, called a strike. Brockhaus got it. Is the zone extended vertically a little bit? Jordan Brown has also struck out one of nine Ks put together by Dalen Miley. So far, Brockhaus has given up three hits and a walk. And he offers the 2-2. And this ball is hit well out into right. Whitaker falling back on it. A back pedal to the start of the warning track, and he brings it in. That ball falls about 15 feet shy of the right field wall for out number two.
And for Whitaker, for a while, in the months of July, early part of August, you saw him play a lot of infield, a little bit of shortstop, a lot of third base, but over the last month or so, back in the outfield for the most part, and great reaction off that fly ball, immediately started back, kind of twisted his body towards the ball, and made a difficult play look relatively routine.
First pitch to Made is high and outside, 1-0. Made has struck out twice, swinging, both times against Dalen Miley. This is Brockhaus now for the first time. Brockhaus, the former college pitcher at Memphis, 23-year-old. The delivery, and that's hit off the end of the bat. A pop fly left side of the infield should end the inning. Loft in tracking, and he makes the catch right on the fringe of that left field grass. And that ends the inning, but it's a come-from-behind inning for the Lynchburg Hillcats. RBI triple by Paz. A go-ahead single from Victor Planchard. And it's 2-1 as we move to the bottom of the sixth. The Hillcats lead for the first time.
That City, presented by Chevy. Double play Doug is down with our contestant down on the dugout. Take it away, TP.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with my buddy Steve. And Steve, are you ready to choose that city?
Yep.
All right, let's take a look at the big screen behind us. Let's see where we're going on our vacation this evening. Well, we could. There we go. Oh, there's the Rogers Center. All right. It's like it's a hockey town. Is it Vancouver, Montreal, or Toronto? It's definitely a hockey town, so either one of the three.
I'm going to say Montreal.
Steve says Montreal. Is he correct? Toronto. Good gravy. That's all right. Steve, give me a big go, Packers.
Go, Packers.
That's right.
They fell in love.
Fans, this Saturday, the first 1,000 fans through the gates will receive a Woodpeckers fleece blanket presented by Blue Ridge Power. Plus, after the game, the Woodpeckers will stick around for post-game autographs. Man and pitchers not included.
Punches flew and chairs were smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot, but just two.
Back on the mound for the Hillcats, Alonzo Richardson. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for Los Guerreros, the second baseman, number 14, Tommy Sacco.
Tommy Sacco leads off the bottom of the sixth inning. Lynchburg now has a 2-1 lead. On an RBI triple to tie the game by Richard Paz and Victor Planchart, the go-ahead single. Alonzo Richardson been very efficient tonight, and now he gets to pitch with the advantage. He gets a strike past Sacco swinging, and it's 1-1. Tommy Sacco, Tyler Whitaker, and Zach DiZenzo are the three scheduled to bat. Here's the pitch. Fastball inside. 70th pitch of the night there from Richardson, 2-1. Woodpeckers have just two hits after the Zach Cole home run, three in total tonight, the delivery. And a chopper hit foul right side. Two balls, two strikes. That was a single by Ryan Wroblewski. Garrett McGowan a double. And if this game ends up being decided by a run or two, Woodpeckers will look back to that fifth and think what could have been. 2-2 pitch down and outside. They had runners at second and third, one out, but then Lofton grounded out to second base, and Zach Cole ended up striking out. Two left in scoring position. 3-2 payoff. And Tommy Sacco golfs this one to right center. Playable in the alleyway. Green and Brown coming together. It is Green, last moment, reaching out across his body to make the catch. It looked like Brown was getting underneath that ball. Green was going to give him the chance to make that catch, but last minute he bailed out. Green adjusted, brought it in.
Sacco didn't miss that pitch by much. Looked like he caught it off the very end of the bat. Had he been able to square it up, might have been talking tie game.
Tyler Whitaker waves and misses on a changeup. And it is 0-1 on Witt. He's 0-2 tonight. Has put the ball in play twice, though. Ground out to short and to third. Stays off a fastball, but called a strike by Corey Gerber.
A lot of credit, though, to Richardson fighting out of that fifth inning. When it looked like it might have been the end of the line for him, he comes back out in the sixth and looks like a new man on the mound.
Richardson, the pitch. It is down and outside, barely missed. Richardson thought he had it. 1-2. Whitaker now 3-for-23 in September. Been kind of a cold start to the month for him after a great August. That pitch was close, off the outside again. Back to even, 2-2. Hit over 250 in August, by far his best month at the plate. And trying to close his season with a couple of strong games after a great back stretch. And there's strike three called to the bottom of the zone. Whitaker thought it was well too low. And he's back to the dugout. Whitaker, I think, been frustrated with some of the calls that have gone against him this entire series. The other night, there was that high and outside slider in the ninth inning that rung him up. There was a strike two call, and then he eventually struck out. But no doubt, zone has been a tough one for him to figure out this week. And he's been a little more vocal with that umpiring crew than we've seen him at any other point this year.
Yeah, both those instances were with Corey Gerber behind the plate. So it seems like it's been kind of an issue with Gerber specifically.
Pitch outside. Yeah, the ninth inning was the 4-3 game Tuesday night. Whitaker coming up in a clutch spot, and he thought the zone was expanding too much on him. 1-1 on DiZenzo. Here it is. It is a low pitch. 84-mile-per-hour changeup. There is bullpen activity for Lynchburg, but right now Alonzo Richardson is hoping for the quality start. His 2-1 gets DiCenzo swinging and missing. Richardson has gone six innings on two other occasions. Six scoreless his last time out against Kannapolis, and he's trying to do it for a second straight time. He has a swing and a miss at a changeup, and it's back-to-back strikeouts to close six innings for Alonzo Richardson tonight. He's off the mound with a 2-1 lead as our ball game moves to the final three innings. The seventh is coming up next on FanvilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.TV.
Specialist Sean Sweeney is from Holden, Massachusetts. He enlisted into the Army in January of 2014 and served as a 25V combat call documentation specialist. Sean spent 1 year at Camp Red Cloud in South Korea before retiring in January of 2018. He currently oversees video production at Fayetteville State University and serves as the technical director here at the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Fans, let's hear it for specialist Sean Sweeney. Thank you for your service.
Attaboy. I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota.
Fans, it's time for the Budweiser Zero last call for any alcohol. Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. Back on the mound for Los Guerreros, Walker Brockhaus.
Hey, Fonzie.
Oh, no.
¿Qué pasa de mí?
We're on to the final third of our game, and the bottom of the Lynchburg order leads off the top of the fifth inning. The Hillcats trailed 1-0 through five tonight, but break through in the top of the sixth. They're now up 2-1. And back to tell you about tonight's action on the play-by-play. Here is C-squared, Colin Casey.
Thank you so much, AC. Walker Brockhaus, 26 pitches in, starts off the seventh with a called strike on the outside corner. Angel Hanau, watches strike one after showing bunt. A walk and a strikeout so far for him. And that is in the dirt, 1-1. Brockhaus trying to keep this a one-run ball game. The Woodpeckers down to their final nine outs, and time is called after a long pause by Brockhaus. Time called by the batter, Hanau. Another long pause for Brockhaus, using up every second on that pitch clock. He comes inside with a breaking ball, laid off 2-1. Two runs on five hits, a pair of errors tonight for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Meanwhile, just the one run on three hits. No errors for Fayetteville. Strike two called on Hanau. And now Robleski will head out to the mound to talk with Brockhaus. I don't know if they weren't on the same page or what. Pitch was right down the middle, so maybe Robleski was expecting it to be on that inside corner instead. It's the only series between these two teams in 2022 and the first time they've played each other since July of 2019. As Hanau flies one into center field, Zach Cole makes the catch, and Brockhaus has the first out of the seventh.
Yeah, that first out, right, has started inning important here for Brockhaus, Colin. had the leadoff walk in the sixth, and at that point, it seemed like he overcorrected, left some stuff in a hittable spot in the zone, and then that led to the triple and the single. So get that first out, keep yourself ahead of the hitters, and try and cruise through this seventh.
Jake Fox, for the fourth time tonight, steps into the box and takes a ball outside. Fox, 0-for-3, ground out in the first, a strikeout in the third, and another ground out in the fifth. In the dirt, Fox in the top 20 among the top 30 prospects that Cleveland has per MLB.com. One of just two guys on this roster on that list as he sends one into center field. It drops in front of Cole for a one-out single. So Fox has hit safely in each of the two games he has played in this series. Had a double in the series opener on Tuesday night and a one-out single in the seventh tonight. There's Isaiah Green. He's reached base twice tonight. A walk in the third, a single in the fifth inning, but he was caught stealing to end the top of the fifth by Robleski, the catcher. Brockhouse aiming to throw his 35th pitch. Right now, nobody warming in the Fayetteville pen, so you wonder if Brockhouse will have an extended opportunity to wrap up this ball game. Lefty Green awaits the 1-0. Runner on the move in Fox to pitch out. The throw down skipped in on a hop. The tag is late, and Fox has himself a steal of second.
That was a pretty slick tag from Leo's Danny Molina. He picked that ball in the short hop and then got the tag right on the left shoulder of Jake Fox. It was almost the same throw Robleski got Isaiah Green stealing with back in the fifth. Fox just a little more quickness to him, though.
And he's going to try to take third. Another pitch outside. Skipped into the dirt. It ends up in left field, and Fox will get up head on home, and he will score. I think there was obstruction called anyways. He would have been awarded home plate. There was a point from the home plate umpire, Corey Gerber. Nevertheless, the base running of Jake Fox steals second, steals third, and comes home on a throwing error by Robleski. The lead is up to 2 for Lynchburg. It's 3-1.
Yeah, those throws to third, Colin, as a catcher, just not ones you should short hop. It's fouled away.
Up to the left side.
Yeah, you just don't want to short hop your third baseman on a throw like that. It comes up on them way quicker. And usually a short hop like that will hit the dirt. You short hop on that grass right in front of second base, sometimes that can be an effective throw. But at third, you're running a risk there.
2-2 breaking ball called strike 3. And Green is down looking for the second out. So it was steal number 20 and 21 for Fox. Second and third, and he scores on an E2. The first error of the series committed by the Woodpeckers defense. After the backwards K, Brockhouse trying to limit the damage to just one run. Pitch misses outside. Potentially be an unearned run for Brockhouse if he's able to retire the last two batters. 1-0, foul tipped, and that caught Robleski right above the knee pad. Home plate umpire Corey Gerber gives the ball to Brockhouse, buys him a little bit of time, and dusts off home plate. Diane Frias, 0-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. It was the opening run that tied the ball game for Lynchburg last inning. Breaking ball ripped down the right field line, foul. Dalen Miley started this ball game going 4 2/3 scoreless. Couldn't get that final out though with his pitch count in the mid 80s. Season high 9 strikeouts for Dalen. What has been his best 5-week stretch of the season towards the end of the year. That pitch in the dirt. 3-2 count now on Frias. Will Bartlett waits on deck looking for redemption. He's 0-3 tonight with a pair of strikeouts. The payoff pitch, a check swing, and he went around for strike three as Frias slams the helmet in frustration. He's got to take it easy. And now Bartlett from the on-deck circle trying to calm him down. Looks like nothing further will come of it. And the inning comes to an exciting end, and now he's been thrown out. So Gerber tosses him from the ballgame. Frias couldn't keep his cool, and he has been ejected.
All right, fans, it's time for the seventh.
Heading out towards the dugout is Omer Santos to have a discussion with Gerber. But the Lynchburg Hillcats take a 3-1 lead into the middle of the seventh inning. We'll be back for the bottom of the seventh from Segra Stadium on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Sing a little louder. I sow its root. Peckers. Say it loud. At the old. That a boy, Guerreros. That a boy. Suave.
Swiping spit for a little while, it ain't new to me. Acting like I'm chasing her or something, she be pursuing me.
Can't now pitching.
Telling me all the time she wish they could.
Bottom seven, 3-1 lead for the Lynchburg Hillcats. A new arm on the mound. It's right-hander Josh Wolf, who grew up just outside of Houston, Texas. Former second rounder taken in the 2019 draft by the New York Mets. First pitch to Ryan Clifford. A fastball low and outside. Wolf. Again, drafted by the Mets initially as the off-speed catches the bottom of the zone. But ended up with Cleveland as a wave and a miss, 1-2. On the season, Wolf, 1-2 with a 6.97 earned run average over 10 games with Lynchburg. Did make one appearance in the Complex League earlier in the year, but most of the year for Wolf spent with the Hillcats. 20 2/3 innings total. Clifford takes ball two. Attended St. Thomas High School in Houston, Texas. Signed after being drafted right out of high school. Celebrated his 22nd birthday 1 week ago on the 1st. And he works from the windup. The payoff pitch to Ryan Clifford. Chopped right towards Wolf. He comes off the mound, throws to first in time for the first out. Wolf coming on to relieve Alonzo Richardson. Six innings with just one run allowed on a solo home run to begin his outing, hit by Zach Cole. Only gave up two more hits after that, one walk and four strikeouts. What's been a high point of the season for Alonzo Richardson. In line for the victory after the quality start. Breaking ball called a strike at the letters on Leo's Danny Molina.
Yeah, Richardson gets to go into his offseason now with six scoreless to start September and another quality start tonight to to end his month of September. So that'll leave you with a good feeling going into your off season. Get you ready for spring training next year, and you'll be thinking about a strong finish to 2022. That's the way you want to go out if you're him.
Molina held hitless through two trips so far today. Hits one on the ground towards third. Fielded in between hops by Frias. Or throw on to first in time. That's actually not Frias now at third base after the ejection. Carson Tucker at the hot corner now. Frias tossed from the ball game after a frustrating reaction to being called out on strikes. So it's now Tucker who's taken over. He was a third baseman in yesterday's contest. And a ground ball up the middle off the bat of Ryan Wroblewski. Josh Wolf, right there to make the play. And it's a 1-2-3 seventh inning for Josh Wolf in relief. Woodpeckers down to their final six outs. They trail 3-1 after seven from Segra Stadium.
All right, fans, it's time to guess tonight's attendance presented by Smile Doctors. Double Play Doug has our lucky contestant down on the dugout. Take it away, DP.
Thank you, sir. I'm here with my friend Maya. Maya is 15, and she goes to which high school?
Southern Lee High School.
Southern Lee High School in Sanford, correct? All right, baby, this is easy. All you got to do is tell me how many people are here tonight. Are you ready? All right, let's turn around and look at the screen. Here are your choices. Is it A, 2,952, B, 3,011, or C, 2,645? A, B, or C?
I'm gonna go with C.
Maya says it's C. Is she correct? Oh, it's B, 3,011. I'm sorry, Maya. That's okay. Give me a big go, Peckers.
Go, Peckers.
That's right.
Fans, your Woodpeckers wrap up the 2022 season on Sunday with our last game of the year. Be sure to come out as we'll auction off our Woodpeckers home jerseys. Plus, it's Sunday fun day. After the game, kids can run the bases and families can play catch in the outfield. Presented by Magic 106.9 FM.
Yeah. Todos están pendientes a ti, pero tú puedes estar para mí.
We head to the eighth from Segra. Lynchburg 3, Fayetteville 1. Walker Brockhaus back on the mound. He's greeted by first baseman Will Bartlett. And to take us through the conclusion on this final Thursday night home game for the Woodpeckers in 2022, send it back over to Andrew Chapman.
All right. Thank you, Colin. Here comes the kick and pitch. It is foul tipped at the plate. It is 0-2 on Bartlett. Bartlett is 0-3 tonight. Couple of strikeouts and also a tapper back to the pitcher. Brockhaus faces Bartlett for a second time. He got him on that ground out back his way. Here's the 0-2. And Bartlett got underneath it. A soaring pop fly, shallow, out towards right field. Sacco does not exit the infield. He makes the catch with his 2 feet on the dirt. And Will Bartlett goes to 0-4 with the pop out. Hey, happy NFL season to you, Colin. It is kickoff number one tonight, Los Angeles, Rams-Bills.
It's been a crazy one so far, too. 7-0 lead for Buffalo, but turnovers on both sides. Not exactly what you expected from two Super Bowl contenders this early in the season.
Pitches outside. I come from what you may call a Ramily. Dad, brother, everybody, big Rams fans in the house. Now you're a New York Giants fan. Here's a ground ball hit left side, brought in by Lofton, shifted over from third. He picks up, throws to first, and gets the out. How are your Giants going to do this year? What's the expected win total?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that it's the opposite of my family. I have three Patriot fans in my household. I'm the lone Giants fan, but not exactly high expectations. Bit of a cap crunch right now going into this year, and question at the quarterback position as well, Daniel Jones. So not exactly high expectations, but it's the NFC East, so you never know year in and year out. That's one of the more inconsistent divisions in all of football.
Plan chart, fouls the first pitch off. Yeah, I think the final chance here for DJ, Daniel Jones, to prove himself.
You know, a lot of big Daniel Jones fans in this area of the woods with Duke just up the road, Duke University. Had a great career there, but certainly a learning curve for him at the NFL level.
On a check swing, a foul ball from Planchard bounces into his own dugout, and it's 0-2. And, you know, I'm buying currently low Saquon Barkley stock. I think we get a nice bounce back season from Saquon.
Hey, remember that rookie year he had? He just hasn't been able to stay healthy since then, but an improved offensive line. Evan Neal drafted out of Alabama. A lot of intrigue with that Giants offense.
Pitch down in the dirt. And it's 1-2 on Planchard. We hope you'll join us at Segra Stadium this weekend, despite all the great football that'll be on. You can save all the football watching for Week 2 Sunday. Come on out to the Woodpeckers. Wrap up the season with us this Sunday as a ground ball is pulled right side. A few tickets still available, but expecting some big crowds Friday and Saturday. Sunday can be your best bet right now to grab some tickets on the final game of the year. A little bit of weather in the forecast, but we're hoping it'll hold off and be nice to us and let us finish the season on schedule. Here comes the wine kick and the 1-2 pitch again to Planchard, and he pulls a ground ball. Second base, Tommy Sacco. And he picks up, looks at Planchard not going up the first baseline, flips to first, inning over. 1-2-3 frame for Walker Brockhaus. And we head to the bottom eight with the Woodpeckers trailing 2-1.
Take a look at the video board and flex away.
On the mound for the Hillcats, Josh Wolf.
Once you strike that match.
Leading off the bottom of the eighth inning for Los Angeles.
Josh Wolf went 1-2-3 in the seventh. He's back out for the eighth. Lynchburg on top of Fayetteville tonight, 2-1. This series even after the Woodpeckers' no-hitter and 3-0 win yesterday. Garrett McGowan's been hitting the ball hard all night. He leads off the inning, took the first pitch low. Here comes the kick and 1-0 down and inside. Backhanded by Paz behind the plate, and it's two balls and no strikes. McGowan with a deep fly to right that Brown pulled in right at the top of the wall. Fell inches shy of his first pro home run, and then he doubled off the center field wall in the fifth. The 2-0 pitch. Below the knees again. Three balls, no strikes on McGowan. That double for Garrett was his second Woodpeckers uniform. 3-0 pitch. Outside and off of the corner. It's ball four. Four-pitch walk to McGowan, and that gets the tying run on base to lead off the eighth.
So I wasn't sure at first if it was, in fact, true, but Josh Wolf was in that Francisco Lindor trade after being drafted by the Mets initially. He wasn't the only player currently with Lynchburg, though, in that trade. Isaiah Green also being sent over, along with Andres Jimenez and Ahmed Rosario.
Lofton looks at a slider outside. Yep, Lindor now a permanent long-term piece of that New York Mets middle infield. Seen with one of the top records in the National League this year. 1-0. is a fastball for a strike right off the outside corner to Laughlin. Cleveland Guardians, the big league club of these Lynchburg Hillcats, in a tight division race in the American League Central. Here's the 1-1. And a swing and a foul ball that got a piece of Lofton up underneath the bill of the helmet. And a scary moment there is that ball somehow came off the inside of the handle or somewhere off the top of the bat. And fortunately, I think it got all helmet and mostly none of Lofton. He's up on his feet and he's alert and doesn't look like he got cut up at all.
And you have to hope he's all right. Sorry, a thin bench situation currently for the Woodpeckers. Logan Cerny still on the roster, but
he's
been out for a while. Colin Price dealing with the foot injury. Jacob Melton as well, hurt earlier in the series. Mm-hmm. So you're essentially down to 10 guys total. You might have to start looking towards the bullpen to put guys in, anyone who potentially might have played in high school. But Lofton seemingly is okay. I don't know if the bill of his helmet kind of ricocheted and got his forehead or what, but never went down to a knee. And looks like he's ready to continue, just maybe wipe up a little bit of a cut potentially that might have taken place with that ricochet right off the bill of the helmet.
Yeah, they're going to allow Wolf to play a little bit of light catch here, throw a couple warm-up throws just to give Lofton an extra moment to regather. And Sarah Walton, team athletic trainer, is running back out there to check up on Jackson. So there might have been a little bit of an abrasion.
Yeah, got a Band-Aid, it looks like, or some sort of gauze.
In the cheek or eyebrow area, I think is what they're kind of looking at right now. And it's just one of the flukier things that we've seen this year. Of course, you mentioned Colin Price. Colin he's in a boot now, walking boot after he fouled the ball off of his foot. Usually that's what you're worried about as a hitter, is hitting something off a knee or a foot, lower leg, but often you see that where it was a full swing and it just came right off the inside of the handle and went right up underneath the bill of his helmet, knocked it clean off of his head. And you worry about, broken nose, you could end up a lot worse than Lofton just did on a play like that. Unfortunately, he can carry on.
I've only seen that happen once. I was playing high school baseball, middle school baseball in eighth grade. I saw a guy foul a ball straight off of his nose.
Yeah.
Don't see it happen too often, but thankfully Lofton seems to be all right.
It's a nice ovation from this Thursday night crowd. Attacks the first pitch out of the stoppage, rolls to short, and now picks up, stomps on second, goes to first, and it's a double play. And just like that, Fayetteville now down to their final four outs, goes 6-3, and now to Bartlett. And a tough break for Fayetteville after they got the leadoff man and tying run on base.
Talk about that insult to injury there. Come right back in, trying to make something happen. Gowan draws leadoff walk, and unfortunately for Lofton, just hit it right at the shortstop Hanau, and as you mentioned, Taylor made.
Wolf's first pitch to Cole was down in the dirt. And it's a one ball, no strike count. Cole has reached twice tonight. Home run and a walk. He struck out his last time in the fifth. Faces Wolf for the first time. And that pitch down and in. It got a piece of Zach Cole. Just clipped him on the left toe area. Right on the tip of the cleat. Barely got him and he's on. And well, Cole, when he reached with two outs back in the third inning, he stole second. Ball got into center field on the throwdown, and then he made it down to third. A one-run game, valuable runner on, and it's the speedy Zach Cole. Expect him to maybe be off and going again. Tommy Sacco is up. Bluff steal at first, and the ball gets through the catcher. All the way to the backstop, and Cole goes down to second.
The last thing you want to do there is make it easy on Cole and give him that 90 feet because he won't hesitate to try to take third base. However, with two outs in the inning, we saw yesterday Sacco had a single to right, and that was enough to score Cole. So put him in a position where a base hit pretty much guarantees that Fayetteville will cut the lead in half.
Well, Cole bluffed down at first on that pitch, and you wonder if that might have caught the attention of Paz just briefly behind the plate and might have led to that ball getting through him. 1-0. And here's a line drive pulled to first, but speared out of the air by Bartlett. And that saves the 2-1 Lynchburg lead. Tommy Sacco nearly tucked one down the line that likely would have brought home Cole. But it is out number three to close the eighth inning. We go to the ninth. Lynchburg clinging to a 2-1 advantage.
Estoy aquí porque Dios tuvo planes conmigo. Gracias a usted y a los míos soy agradecido. Tumbarme a mí, mis enemigos no han podido. Ya estoy bendecido. Bendiciones para todo el mundo.
Fans, take a look at the video board and see what's coming up at Segra Stadium. Also, don't forget, you still have time to purchase one of this year's Copa jerseys online. Online sales will close on Sunday at 2 p.m.
Y que me perdonen si algo le hice. No hables de hipocresía, no, que se contradicen. Yo combino la DC hoy con los días grises. Eso no hables de eso, háblame de progreso. Ellos me sacan el dedo mientras yo les tiro besos. Ey, mi vida es un VIP. Y tu mala vibra no entra aquí. Me estoy cuidando del VIP.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Entering the game for Los Guerreros, number 19, Shea Barry.
Yo tengo fe de que vendrán días mejores. Y que saldrán nuevos colores. La vida es corta y yo quiero más amores. Por ahora sigo hablando con las flores. Un feeling para los tres y alcohol para los dolores. Y hoy me levanté con ganas de abrazar a mami. De Ángel bien loco por Miami. La felicidad me canceló una cita. Pero siempre doy buena vibra por si alguien la necesita. Bendiciones para todo el mundo. Salud y vida para todo el mundo. Desde acá un abrazo para todo el mundo. Hasta para los que se viraron y me tiraron. Yeah.
It's the ninth inning, and the Hillcats carry a 3-1 lead in the top half against new right-hander Shea Barry. He takes over for Walker Brockhaus, who worked 3 1/3 tonight. And the first pitch from Barry to Jordan Brown is hacked on and missed. It's 0-1. Brown, Madej, and Hanau will be the 7-8-9 batting. Lynchburg scored 2 in the sixth, 1 more in the seventh to take their 3-1 advantage. And a slider misses down and outside. Barry 0-6, 8.68 ERA this year, pitching for his 20th time with the Woodpeckers. 56 innings, he has 50 strikeouts over that stretch, but 53 walks as well, and he misses inside, drills Jordan Brown with the pitch. And that one got away from Barry, who has a little bit of that side-armed action to the right side, and we've seen that quite a bit this year. That's the 14th batter he has hit over his 56-plus innings. And Lynchburg gets a possible insurance run aboard for Marlon Madej.
That's most batters hit by a Woodpeckers pitcher this season. Sometimes Barry likes to establish that inside corner. Sometimes you go a little bit too far in, and that's the result.
Yeah, you can make a right-handed batter really uncomfortable with Barry's type of delivery and the pitch mix that he has. Fastball is placed outside, and it's 1-0 on Madej. He has the two-seam fastball with some sink to it, changeup slider as well. So if you can squeeze that sinker in on a righty while you're coming at them from a little bit of a sidearm angle, they can really feel like it's on their hip. And you got to start the swing a little early and keep the hands really compact if you want to hit a pitch like that. And that's the big thing Barry's been working on this season, as a fastball misses up high to Madej. And the count is 3-0. Madej hitless, 0-3, pair of strikeouts and a pop out to third. It's in there, a strike. Three balls, one strike now on Madej. And now next, 3-1 Lynchburg. They have out-hit Fayetteville tonight, 6-3. Couple errors for Lynchburg, one for Fayetteville. Runner on the move to second. Here's a swing and a ground ball into center field. A hit and run to perfection. Brown going to third. The throw from Cole does not arrive in time. He slides in. The hit and run gets runners onto the corners. Marlon Madej now one for four. He ends his hitless night. And Barry with a little bit of pressure instantly on him.
A couple of defensive changes. Jackson Lofton has come out of the ball game for the Woodpeckers. So Tyler Whitaker moved from right field to third base. John Garcia is now at first base. Garrett McGowan from first base to right field.
A lot of maneuvering there for Joe Thon in his first night back with the Woodpeckers. And now Angel Henao, lefty, takes up high. The pitch, low. Two balls and no strikes. Henao is walk, struck out, flat out to center. He's 0 for 2. Chance to add to the 3-1 Lynchburg lead. The pitch. Swinging a foul into the netting. And it's a two-ball, one-strike count. And now a switch hitter. So he's batting from the left side against the right-handed. Pitching Shea Berry. Everybody's a right-hander. He'll only bat from the left side in this series. No more Colton Gordon on the staff. 2-1. And a fastball misses outside and high, 3-1. He is only 18 years old, originally from Castillo in the Dominican Republic. Doesn't turn 19 until May of 2023. So he's one of the younger ball players in the entire Carolina League right now, and he is able to tuck a ground ball inside of the third baseline to score the run, going to third and sliding in. He's out. Madej out on the tag. He's thrown out by Garrett McGowan, the first baseman for the first 8 innings of this game, putting on the outfielder glove and coming up with a big throw. And now trails the play to second, and it's now 4-1 Lynchburg on what will be an RBI single with the advance to second on the throw.
Strange circumstances. That ball just in a tough spot down that left field line. Plenty to score the run from third, of course, but it was Madej who tried taking that extra base, and good job by Ryan Clifford to get that ball in quickly and get the out at third to salvage at least the first out of the inning.
Pitch to Fox is a wraparound slider. Good backdoor from Berry, and it's called a strike. That's a big out to get at third. Help Berry out a little bit here instead of nobody out, two in scoring position. One away man on second, and a strike to Fox. Gets him down in a nothing and two count. Fox singled his last time, stole a pair of bases, second and third. Throw to third, got into left, and then he came home on the E2. The 0-2. And he wraps around a breaking ball, fouls it first baseline, and it is still 0-2 on Fox.
Tough situation now for the Asheville Tourists. They trail after 8 innings, 6-4 to the Greenville Drive, being tormented by an old foe, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers, Marcelo Meyer. Solo home run as well as an RBI single to give the Drive the early, or the late lead, I should say.
Berry's peeked down to second base, and pitch is down and inside. It sent Fox stepping over it and down to the ground. Didn't get a piece of the back foot. And Fox will have to regather and step back in. Getaway sinker there from Berry. Fox collectively tonight, 1-for-4. Has a strikeout and a pair of ground outs as well. And he pulls another sinker foul off the front of the Woodpeckers dugout. So still 1-2. Jake Fox, 19 years old, also a youngster just like Henao. Third rounder by Cleveland in 2021 out of Lakeland Christian High School in Lakeland, Florida. Was committed to play at one of the top D1 programs in the state before he was drafted. He was going to go and play for the Florida Gators. 1-2 pitch, swings and misses, and Shea Berry strikes out Jake Fox after a long battle. Found the way a couple of two-strike pitches, finally wins out and brings up Isaiah Green.
If you're Barry, the way you think of it right now, if this final out still save situation, we know how many rallies we've seen the Woodpeckers have over the last couple of weeks in the eighth and ninth innings. So three-run game, certainly not out of the question for Fayetteville to come back and erase that deficit.
First pitch to Green, misses low. One ball and no strikes. Barry's strikeout of Jake Fox is the 12th punch-out by Fayetteville pitching tonight. Nine from Miley, three from Brockhaus. And now the one from Barry. Two from Brockhaus make it. One from Barry. Here's the pitch and a missed inside on Green. Green with a walk and a single. He's been on twice. One for three. The delivery. Misses outside to him. Two ball, one strike count. Correction there now on Green.
It's another solid pitching night for the Woodpeckers. Four runs given up, but three of them earned. Continuing to close the season out on a high note on the mound.
Green swings and pulls a sharp grounder out to second base. Tommy Sacco with the pickup and the throw to first to end the inning. Lynchburg adds a run on Helhanau. The single inside of the third baseline drives home Jordan Brown. With the Woodpeckers down to their final three outs tonight, they trail 4-1 going bottom nine.
Fans, this Hillcats pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Hillcats, number 23, Miguel Vinicio. Leading off the bottom of the ninth inning for Los Guerreros, the third baseman, number 8, Tyler Whitaker. Hope I make it out of here.
Final chances for Fayetteville tonight. They trail 4-1 to Lynchburg Hillcats, and right-hander Miguel Vinicio brings home the first pitch freshly into this ball game, and Whitaker pops it up on the infield. Fox coming all the way into the infield grass and makes that catch along the baseline between first and second. And Whitaker pops out, goes to 0-4 tonight. Tough series continues for Witt. Now, Zach DiZenzo trying to put an end to his hitless series. 0-11 combined this week is the right-handed cleanup hitter. Vinicio in a save chance here. He's 4-4 in converting his chances this season in the save department. A foul tip on the first pitch swinging from Zach DiZenzo, 0-1. A 1-2 record, 3.42 ERA, 16th appearance for Vinicio. His offering is low. 1-1. 23 2/3 innings, 22 strikeouts over that stretch, 14 walks and 9 earned runs allowed. He's only surrendered one home run all season over his 15 previous games. 1-1. DiCenzo swings and misses. Little out in front of what looked like a slider. Vinicio, a 23-year-old, just turned to 23 the other day. On September 1st, he celebrated his 23rd birthday from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Now in his fourth season with the Cleveland Guardians. And a line drive pulled out into left. Zach DiCenzo has extra bases in his first hit of this series. It's all the way to the base of the wall. Madej gets it back in. DiCenzo on second.
Got to feel good for Zach. This is the first time we've seen him struggle since he's joined the Woodpeckers back in August. And waited on a breaking ball. Didn't try to hammer it. Took it down that left field line. A lot of space out in left with Madej playing pretty far off the line. And an easy two-bagger for DiCenzo. And maybe starting to get that monkey off his back.
Third double this season for DiCenzo. And seventh extra base hit. Three doubles going along with his four home runs. Ryan Clifford up. And a fastball strike. Be interesting if Clifford could try and get on here. He's one of those guys that does a good job of getting aboard. That would bring the potential tying run to the plate. That's represented on Leo by Leo Stanley Molina on deck right now. The 0-1. And that's shot right over our heads. 0-2 on Clifford. Seven-game on-base streak on the line right now for Ryan Clifford. Tonight he's 0-3 with a pair of pop-outs to third and a bounce out to the pitcher. He's now 3-11 in the series. Vinicio with the belt tie set and delivery. And the 0-2 is lifted along the left field line. Madej sprinting over, gets to the chalk, and that ball falls on the extended warning track out of his reach. It'll stay 0-2 on Ryan Clifford. 421 on base percentage with Fayetteville over his previous nine games entering tonight. That was after he reached on a 440 percentage in the Florida Complex League.
He reminds me a lot of, and I don't know if a lot of Woodpeckers and Astros fans are familiar with him, but Tristan Casas, first baseman that just made his debut for the Boston Red Sox, one of their top prospects.
0-2 pitch, and Clifford foul tipped. It's held onto by Paz, and that is the second out. Fayetteville has not struck out a lot tonight, Colin. Only five times there with Colin Price waving and missing. They hadn't struck out against the bullpen yet, facing Josh Wolf. It was just four strikeouts against Richardson over six innings, but now Leo Stanley Molina is Fayetteville's final opportunity. And he wraps the first pitch foul towards the third base dugout, 0-1.
A lot of ground outs generated by both Richardson and the bullpen tonight. Been able to keep those pitches down in the zone. Couple of mistakes here and there, the McGowan double, as well as DiCenzo's double earlier in the inning, but a really strong performance by Lynchburg on the mound.
The 0-1, slider away. One ball and one strike. Molina, three ground outs in this game. Cooled off a bit tonight after the blazing start to his series. Four hits in his first six at-bats. He's now 4-9. Still hitting well over 300 in September. 7-23. And Molina takes it low. Slider. Two ball, one strike count. DiCenzo on second following the double. The lean in by Miguel Vinicio and pitch. Fastball pops the mitt, called a strike. And the Woodpeckers down to their final strike tonight. Lynchburg right on the edge of taking the lead in this series going into Friday night. Stick around following the conclusion of this one for the Woodpeckers postgame show. 2-2 coming home. It is just outside, says Corey Gerber. And Molina will see another pitch. On deck is Ryan Wroblewski. Third baseman Tucker is back, guarding that line. First baseman Bartlett off the stripe. Molina swings at a changeup, and the ball game is over on this Thursday night. It is a 5-for-5 now for Miguel Vinicio, converting save opportunities. And on a night after the Woodpeckers no-hit Lynchburg, they get their revenge. They come from behind after trailing over the first five innings, 1-0, and they take it by a 4-1 final. We'll step aside and be back in a moment for the Woodpeckers postgame show. Stay tuned. We're back in a sec on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Calypso, 1, 2, 3, Calypso, Calypso, 1, 2, 3, Calypso, te daré. Calypso, 1, 2, 3, Calypso, Calypso, 1, 2, 3, Calypso, te daré.
Ain't got no safety, but I swear I'll be falling. Daddy, daddy, I know that you want it. Don't wanna fight, cause I love when we dancing.
1, 2, 3, está buena. Con un poquito de cerrón en tu boca. Un poquito pa' que te vuelva loca. Esa vida la tuya no se equivoca.
Anyway, yeah, damn it, day, you know I tip the top. Top down, all in your town, we live it top. Still got an attitude and I don't give a what. Tell a DJ I'm on it, pull up, when we pull up. We ain't seen set up, y'all, I get tech up. Then my move flows, so they done just set up. You know we never lie. Pull up to the front, but we coming through the back.
Yo tengo lo que tú buscas. Calienta tanto que asusta. Y sabes lo que te gusta. Te gusta, te gusta. Bebiendo fuego en el suelo. Gritando estrella en el cielo. Y te diré lo que quiero. Si tú te quedas conmigo, ando toda la noche. Cerquita de mí, al ritmo de amor y de roche.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back inside the broadcast booth, and thanks again for being a part of our final Thirsty Thursday of the 2022 season. Hope you enjoyed your time out of the park tonight. Woodpeckers, Colin, dropped this one 4-1 a night after they no-hit these Lynchburg Hillcats. They kept them relatively quiet on the offensive end as well until that sixth inning, that go-in-front inning for Lynchburg. The story at the end of the night really ends up being the starting pitchers. Alonzo Richardson goes six innings, a quality start for Lynchburg. And Dalen Miley was awesome tonight. He gets to pretty much end his 2022 season now, knowing that he put together some of his best stuff, a season-high strikeout total, and a really good conclusion to his year.
Yeah, Dalen doesn't get the win tonight and goes 4 2/3, but I think it was his best outing of the year, even though it wasn't his longest outing, or again, he didn't end up getting the victory, but 9 strikeouts, season high, struck out 7 or more batters essentially over the course of 3/4 of his final 8 starts of the year. I mean, you can't ask for much more out of a guy than what he brought to the table here. He's kind of a good example of what the pitching staff has been over the last week plus. It's a really promising sign from 2023 and beyond with all this talent in this bullpen as well as in the starting rotation. We saw a couple extra base hits as well. Garrett McGowan starting to break through offensively. Yeah. Drew a walk and hit a double to center field. Also just missed his first home run in a Woodpeckers uniform. Needed another 2 feet or so down the right field line. Saw Zach DeCenzo break through with his first hit of the series as well in a double. Ended up being stranded on base. So just a couple more hits probably would have made the difference for Fayetteville. But after last night's big victory, the no-hitter, you had to imagine that Lynchburg would come back with a little bit of firepower offensively. They did just that. They retake the series lead. And now if you're Fayetteville, 3 games left, just try to go back out tomorrow and re-even the series up once again.
Yep. Good to see Zach Cole going deep tonight as well with that leadoff home run. We haven't seen too many leadoff home runs to start first innings this year, but Zach Cole came out with the power swing, his second over the last week and first here at Segra's Stadium. But that ends up being the only run tonight on that very first batter for Fayetteville. Final line scores Lynchburg 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 errors, and 7 left on. Fayetteville 1 run, 4 hits, 1 error, and 5 left on. The win goes to Alonzo Richardson. He's 2
2-3, lost to Walker Brockhaus, his first losing decision of the 2022 season. So that gets us ready for game four tomorrow. Lynchburg leads this series now 2-1. And on the mound tomorrow for Fayetteville is a good one. Right-hander Miguel Uyola takes the ball 2-2 with a 3.15 ERA. The number 20 prospect now in the Houston Astros farm system will be opposed by right-hander Juan Zapata of Lynchburg, 3-6 with a 3.70 ERA. Fan appreciation night tomorrow. We got a fireworks show in store, some great weather expected, and many fans coming out to the ballpark from what I'm told tomorrow. So we'll love the atmosphere, calling the action for you up here in the booth. We'll throw a couple t-shirts your way. There's gonna be a lot of t-shirts tomorrow, so come on out to the ballpark, enjoy the fireworks as well. Hope you enjoyed your time at the ballpark tonight, Woodpeckers fans, on this thirsty Thursday. Lynchburg wins it by a 4-1 final. We'll talk to you tomorrow on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and MILB.tv. Until then, drive home safely. We'll see you tomorrow for a 7:05 first pitch.
Combinas con el mar, ese bikini se ve fenomenal, no hay gravedad que me pueda